Great. I'm going to we're going to hand over to Andy Allen this morning to read from Philippians for us. So I'm going to hand over to Andy.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Andy, for that. That was Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It would be great if you could have that open with you. That would be fantastic if you could keep that open so that you could read it and look at it, just as we look at it together now as a church family. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Why don't I just quickly pray? Father God, thank you for the time that we have together this morning to study your words. I pray that you would take our lives into your hands and breathe into them. Amen. During the process of adoption, there are two big meetings where a team of professionals will read the compiled information about the people that are adopting and give them either a yes or a no answer. It's called panel. The first panel is to approve you as adopters, and the second panel is to approve specific children to you. Now, my wife and I, in our second panel, there is about 10 professionals all sat in a horseshoe around us. Right, it's not intimidating at all. I was very intimidating. That was sarcasm. Sorry. So they were all sat around us, and they took turns to ask questions to us about all of the information that they had read. And then we were sent out for a few minutes so that they could discuss among themselves. And then our social worker came out and was like, it's a yes. And we said, yay. And we went in. And this is, just listen to what the I was about to call him the chief bloke there. I don't know what his formal title was, but the guy who was leading the meeting, let's call him the chair. The chair of the meeting he said this. He said, the strength of your application is in the community around you. So the strength of your application is in the community around you. That community was church. That was our church. They'd noticed in all of the things that we were doing that the church was our family. And it was a real strength for the application that we were part of an active church. Now, when our kids came to us, that church were amazing. They provided us with meals for a month. We had so much garlic bread in that month that we could, I think our neighbors were thinking about moving. But do you know, grace, saying grace at that point was so easy. The strength of your application is in the community that is around you. And I'd love you to have Philippians 2, as I mentioned, open in front of you, because I believe that God wrote this through Paul, and it has things in here which are hugely relevant for our church family. I'm only going to focus on verses 1 to 4 this morning, and then the rest of the passage we will be studying in home groups, which, by the way, if you're not part of, do please get in contact, see if we could slot you into a home group that are studying these notes that we're putting out each week. Now, I want to show you this morning that the church is built with cement, a team of people, and a whole load of bricks, right? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, hang on, Aaron, I'm pretty sure that you've said to us before that the church is not the building, it is the people. I want to say yes, but I think that our building is a really good picture for us of what the church actually is. So let me explain. We'll look at the cement, then the team of people, and then the bricks. Okay, so firstly, the cement. Like down at chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 2, it starts with the word therefore, which points us back, doesn't it? That's the summary of something, so it points us back. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 27, it says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, gospel here means good news. This is the good news of Jesus. The good news of my sin being forgiven and my Savior being amazing. And we are to live in a way that is worthy of that. What does he mean? Well, in chapter 2, he explains it further by asking four if questions. So chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Now, when I read that, I wonder what that meant, but it's better understood today. It was really helpful for one of the commentaries to say that it's since these things are present. Then what do we do? Well, he says, make my joy complete. Complete my joy. Now, why does he say that? What does he mean by completed joy? One of the highlights of my year in the job that I have is the annual weekend away with some of the teenagers. Or hopefully as many teenagers as we can get. I remember one time when we were sat indoors on a cold November evening with the rain battering against the old windows of this house that we were staying in. We had a younger group, me and the leadership team had a younger group of 11 to 14s. There was about 20 of them, and they were all sat round on kind of sofas and the floor and on each other and things. They were all sat around us. The lights were down and there was a fire that was lit in a fireplace, not in the middle of the floor, just health and safety. And as leaders, we gave that time to hearing from the Christians in the group about what God had been doing. What are you thankful for? What have you been struggling with? What are you excited about? And every time one of those teenagers went and bravely sat in front of the fire, thinking, I'm going to be talking, this is me, this is being vulnerable to my believing and unbelieving friends. Every time one of them did that, and they explained why they were thankful that Jesus died for them, it filled my heart with joy. She'd have someone that would come in and sit down and say, I've been really struggling at school. My friends are all cleverer than I am. I don't feel like I'm going to get very good grades at all. I know that God loves me, and I know that he doesn't love me because of my grades or how clever I am. God loves me because he made me and he saved me, and I'm going to try my hardest. And though I hate being in bottom set, maybe there's someone there that needs Jesus. Our leaders were wiping tears of joy from their face. Because here's someone we've invested in and we've loved really well, and here they are and they get it. They get it, that the gospel is good news and that Jesus makes a difference. And regardless of what happens, they conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. I went to bed those nights praying more naturally than ever before, and my heart was full of joy. Joy is the cement that sticks a church together. Joy is the outcome of the Christian life. We live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is good news. What does good news bring? It's joy. The good news of salvation, the good news of a changed life. Good news that I'm not just saved from sin, but I'm saved to an eternal life with God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, "The greatest need of the hour is a revived and joyful church. Unhappy Christians are a poor recommendation for the faith. The exuberant joy of the early Christians was one of the most potent factors in the spread of Christianity." Amen. Thank you, Jörg. If we're going to keep building the church, we need the cement of joy, don't we? We need to be bound together by joy. It's the second fruit of the Spirit. So a Spirit-filled church is growing in joy. Yes, we may go through hard times together. We know that. We're in one now. But whatever happens, we are conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So even if we're going through a pandemic together, we can still be growing in joy. Whatever happens, we should be known for our joy. But what if I just don't feel it? What if I feel guilty about not feeling joy? What do I do then? Well, if I was on a building project and someone randomly came over and started using my cement, I'd find that a bit weird, wouldn't you? You should come talk to me if you want my cement. Surely. If you're going to go and build your house and I'm going to build mine, we need to talk. You don't just get joy by yourself. You can't be a joy stealer. You enjoy joy with other people, right? You need a team of people. And that's what Paul says next. He says this is the team of people. He says, by being like-minded. So verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Should Christians always agree on everything? Is that what Paul's saying? Is that you should be like-minded, therefore you should agree on absolutely everything. I don't think he is, because of what he says in verses 3 and 4. So if you have a look down here, verses 3 and 4 are very obviously saying, value others above yourselves. We don't assert ourselves over other people. Even if we disagree, we do it gently, we do it in love, we do it in relationship. We know we disagree on things, don't we? I may not think the same as you, and the New Testament knows this. So just listen to some verses from the New Testament. Here we go, Ephesians 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hebrews 13, 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. As a church family, we've delegated authority to a leadership team, haven't we? And we must follow. And a note for the leaders here, you will give an account to Jesus. It's a serious job. So church family, let's do everything that we can to make their job a joy, haven't we? Why? Because it's of no benefit to us to have really stressed out leaders who hate church meetings because they're just going to get ripped apart. Let's make our leadership team, whoever it contains, at whatever stage it is, a colossal joy. Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those of the family of believers. Romans 12, 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, that's really key, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, why write those things to people who agreed on everything the whole time? Of course we don't agree on absolutely everything, but we must never give up working on agreeing with each other. I phoned Phil the other day to talk through what we mean by church membership. I just needed some clarity on that and gave him a call. And he said something that stuck with me as we were discussing it. He said, we are not the mind police. It isn't down to me what you think. But this is my summary here. That's the finishing Phil's quote. But as we sit under the authority of the Spirit-breathed Word of God, and we are bound together by the bond of peace, and as we experience the cement of joy and investing in one another, shouldn't we make every effort to agree? I've heard it said that churches are looking for unity, not uniformity, which sounds nice. So that means we're working together, but we're not all the same. We're not trying to all be the same. And I guess there is an element of truth in that, isn't there? But I wonder whether it could be that we are too easily taking on our deeply individualistic culture that says, you do your thing and I'll do mine. And church is full of people who are saying, you do your thing and I'll do mine. Is that how we should be? Now let's work hard on agreeing. So if I found out that, if you found out that I believe in baptism by immersion, and you said, well, I don't believe that. I believe that we can baptize children. I don't immediately go, okay, well, you do your thing, I'll do mine. What we do is we go get a coffee together, open some Bibles, and chat about why we believe those things. If we absolutely can't agree on that, then do you know what the great news is? We've got a leadership team. We've got a leadership team who can make those decisions, and we will follow. Would you stick your hand in a barbecue? You stick your hand in a barbecue? That's what I asked a teenager who had just protested to me. I'm okay. I'm all right. I just don't want to come to church. I mean, they looked a bit confused and said, no, why are you asking me that? I wouldn't put my hand in a barbecue. I asked them why not, and they said, well, obviously, I'm going to get burned on the coals. And I asked them if they'd pick up a coal that had separated from the rest. And she said, you know what? Yeah, I probably would eventually. Because single coals on their own can cool down quickly when they're separated from the rest of the fire. And if you turn your back on God's people, guys, is the same going to happen to your faith? It might cool quicker than you realize. In fact, when you remove yourself from God's people, when you break away from the team of builders, when you take away from the family of believers, then you break away from the people who should be spurring you on in your faith. You break away from the team of people who are working together to joyfully spread the good news of Jesus. You're breaking away from the cross-cultural family of Spirit-filled, forgiven sinners and saying, you don't need me. Yes, we do. We really do. I mean, the late R.C. Sproul, who's a theologian over in America, he wrote in his book, What is Church? He said, some of us may be deceiving ourselves in terms of our own conversion. We may claim to be Christians, but if we love Christ, how can we despise his bride? How can we constantly and persistently absent ourselves from that which he has called us to join, his visible church? I offer a sober warning to those of you who are doing this. You may, in fact, be deluding yourself about the state of your soul. Strongly worded, isn't it? Now, I don't think what he's not saying there that anyone who doesn't come to church isn't a Christian. I mean, particularly while we're on Zoom. But I think, guys, if you are feeling like you have an unengaged faith, or if you're finding yourself constantly deeply critical of church, or you don't feel a sense of joy that Paul is speaking about, if you want to come back to this joy-filled church family, then go to its Saviour first. Come back to Christ. Ask him to show you the joy of salvation. Re-engage with his people and come and help build his church, because we need you. But a team of people with cement cannot build a building, can they? We need the bricks. And here it is, the bricks. Verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. Now, the story I'm about to tell you is not one I'm particularly proud of. I bet you're listening now. I'm sorry. Now, I am, as you can tell, I'm a sinner like everyone else, and one of my big things that I'm working on the moment is anger. For me, honestly, that's been a theme of the pandemic. I've found that I am quick to anger. God is growing my patience. Phil is aware of this. He knows it's a weakness of mine, and the more you get to know me, the more you'll see that this is a battle for me that I'm trying to work through. There was a moment during one of the lockdowns where I was fed up. I was angry with the kids. I was angry with my wife, Hannah. I was tired, and just everything was getting me down. You know those days? And I'd hit breaking point, and I unfairly raised my voice at my wife. And I said to her, loudly, I said, that's it. I'm fed up with not being listened to. I'm fed up with constantly being disagreed with. I'm fed up with the fact that kids aren't bothering to show any form of respect for me. As of now, things are going to change. My wife, in her equally tired state, just looked at me sadly and asked this question, which completely floored me. She said, and how are you going to do that? How was I going to do that? I was probably going to shout more. I was probably going to get angry more. I was going to push others away so that I could be back in control, which was the real issue, wasn't it? That loving and undeservedly calm question from my wife built our marriage. She didn't shout back, she didn't walk off, but she just calmly got me to think, because it isn't okay for me to vent my anger at my wife because we're married. No, those little actions between us is my marriage. It's those little interactions that I can choose to build or I can choose to tear down. It's those interactions that are the bricks that strengthen our relationship. The same concept works for church. Every interaction we have with our church family is an opportunity to put more bricks down, to build more. Every time we value others above ourselves, we place spiritual bricks down that are building this spiritual house. Every time we value others above ourselves, we build a spiritual house where God lives. But what happens to bricks with no cement? Well, it's just a balancing act. They made a game out of it. It's called Jenga. And eventually it's going to come falling down, isn't it? The good deeds in a joyless church will fail. But a joy-filled church where a team of people are building each other up in love, that is a spiritual house that I want to be part of the team. So what do we do as a church? What do we do now as Central Baptist Church? What do we do as we step, hopefully, out of this pandemic and into whatever is going to be our normal? What do we do when we keep building? Central Baptist Church is a building church. And do you want to know why? I've certainly experienced this. I've certainly experienced this. We had a discussion about a rebrand recently and went ahead. And there's a guy in our church who had some concerns about the rebrand. What he didn't do was choose to publicly criticise me in a members' meeting. He quietly emailed me to arrange a time for a video call. We chatted. I looked into the things that he said that were really helpful. That was brick building. There's a family in church that we're really fond of, who have experience with the needs of adopted children and who babysat our kids for an afternoon. It was incredible. That was brick building. There's another member of our church who we had to phone at 2 a.m. who had been on call for us for a couple of weeks when my wife went into labor, and they took care of the kids so we didn't have to think about them. That is brick building. When we moved up here, I was surprised to find that our cupboards were full and our fridge was filled. That was done by church members. That was brick building. It was my son's birthday. We hadn't seen a family for a while, and we love them loads, so we went over to their house. And when we were allowed back in back gardens, and because they loved Jesus, they loved us really well, and that was just brick building. When a church family cares for and loves each other, it is brick building. But I don't know, maybe it's because I'm the youth and children's worker, but I hope it's not. My hope is that we can be this for one another. Now, if you haven't experienced this, then I'm sorry. But we want to be this. We want to be this joy-filled team, building church that works together. So let's keep brick building. Heaven is not an eternal church service, but it is an eternal church family. Our church building is a picture of the much greater spiritual building that our church family is working together at building. So we need cement, we need a team, and we need bricks. We're using the cement of joy to bind us together. The unity of the family of believers is our team, and those little interactions, those unseen acts of love, are our bricks, and that is our church. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to pay for the punishment for our sin. We thank you so much that Jesus died so that we could be free, that we could be a free people together. Lord, I pray that you would grow our joy as a church, that you would grow our unity and help us to work towards agreement and work against individualism. Would you grow this community so that we could be people who, in those unseen acts of love, could be showing Christ's love to many, many more people. We want to pray that Central Baptist Church would be a beacon of hope in the center of our city. What a privilege to be involved. Thank you for choosing us to do that work. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.